Well, good morning, everybody. If I could have our deacons who are here come forward, please. And for the last several weeks, we have been talking about how, as a church, we want to create a DNA of understanding how, and the elders, yes, come on forward, how we want to create a DNA of living our life of worship in prayer, on mission, with generosity. And I was blessed that when I was called to come to the church, I received an awesome team of leaders that I work with day in and day out. And it really is day in and day out between all of them and passing emails back and forth to really make sure that our church is on point, going the direction that we feel God is calling us, and making sure that everything gets done. And a lot of people don't understand, there's a lot of things that go into doing service on Sunday mornings. There's a lot of things that happen throughout the week. The building needs to be maintained. The grass needs to be cut. And so we have people that maintain that. And Mike, who is an elder, has been handling that lately. For Sunday mornings, there's a Wednesday worship, and that's faith. And faith makes sure that all that happens, that people are where they need to be, and that people have an opportunity to grow in what it means to be a worship director and a worship leader. We have Ann, who makes sure that all the bills get paid and that things get to where they need to go. She makes sure our insurance is up, all those things that happen day in and day out. Bill handles all of our connections, so when people come in and are greeted and feel welcome to our church, Bill handles that and makes sure that people are on the team to connect up and out, and so that you don't feel like when you walk away from him that we've forgotten about you, because we definitely have not. Julie is our first impressions deacon, and she has the wonderful job of making sure that every time that you come walking in here, it looks good. And it does, especially like Christmas time and when we see the seasons change and everything changes and we're in awe, like, oh man, that looks really great. She's in charge of that with her team. And then we have Nikki over here, who is kind of an unsung hero because she's down in the nursery a lot and everything, but she works with our youth and our children's ministry, and she makes sure that everything comes together for that. In fact, she's going to be talking a lot in the next couple weeks to a lot of people because we have children's ministry coming up. And we have Paul and Deanne, who kind of co-op our ministry for mission. And so they're the newest ones to the team. And because I inherited this team, I didn't really ever think about it until we were having a couple conversations over the last 6 months about things that we need to start moving towards and some things that we need to start doing, is that I never took a second to say thank you, nor do we as a church take a second to say thank you to these fine people who dedicate an awful lot of time. And so right now, we are going to stand up as a church. We're going to pray over them. We are going to recognize them as our deacons. In fact, there's certificates on the back. I didn't bring them up because I'm kind of sweaty, clammy, and I didn't want to ruin them. Because I really am. It's kind of hot out. And so please stand with us as we pray over these people. In fact, why don't, if you know them, come forward. Why don't you guys get kind of in the center and let's lay hands on them. All right? Because we could not say thank you enough, because without them, as a church, we don't function. We don't look like we do. And so please, we want to take this moment. Give everybody a second to get up here. All right, dear Heavenly Father, we come before you and we give great thanks that you bless us with people like these. People who are willing to step into leadership, to take on ownership for those things that you have gifted them to do, to grow that gift, to encourage others to become members of that group, whatever that ministry may be, to nurture those gifts of those who are in those ministries. Lord God, we ask that you bless them with courage and strength. Because some days the battle is real, the times are crunched, and things need to happen, and there's not enough things in the day to, or not enough time in the day to make it happen and come together. And so, God, we give thanks for them. We honor their calling that you have given them, because we know it is your calling that is upon them. For we are a body, the body of Christ, to continue to do the works and the miracles and the ministry that you did here on earth, Christ. And you gift each and every one of us differently. And we thank you for the gifts that stand before us. We hold them up to you, Lord, that they may be a living sacrifice unto you, that through their actions you may be known, that you may be glorified. Lord God, I cannot thank you enough for surrounding me with these strong men and women who come alongside, help lead this church. For if it was just by me, we would get nowhere. But because I have this awesome team I work with, that you have brought us together to hear your vision, to carry out your mission here in Portage, we have faith that you'll be with us each and every moment of that. And so, Lord God, we ask for your Holy Spirit to come upon this group. Give them strength, give them courage, let them feel your presence of love, mercy, and grace, that they may share it with those around. For Lord God, each and every one has answered your call and is your faithful servant. And so we give thanks through your Son and by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. All right, so sometime here, take a moment to say thank you. If they come walking past, yeah, we could definitely. And I will be the first to admit there's no amount of words that I can say for how much I respect this team and how much I'm thankful for them being present, because like I said, if it was on my own, there would be so many things that just wouldn't get done. And so we're going to take our lesson today from Romans chapter 12. We're going to kind of highlight this. And there's a reason that we want to highlight it. Because we've been talking about how in mission, we have a calling that God has given us that we must answer, that we must come forward with, that we must accept into our heart and let it become something that we strive to be truly engaged within. And make no mistake about it, yes, it was somewhat on purpose that today is the day that we recognized our deacons and our elders we recognize and we'll pray over during the annual meeting because we have to affirm them every year. And so that'll happen at that time. And I'm very thankful for those two men who sit by my side and make sure that I don't go insane day in and day out as I try to follow what God's will is for River of Life Church here in Portage, Wisconsin. But the fact is each and every day they take time out of their day to make sure that their ministries are running forward and following what God has in store for them. Every day they come before God and say, "How can I serve you?" But it's not just their job to do that, and it's not just their call to do that. We're each called to do that. And in Romans 12, verses 3 through 8, we understand that a little bit closer as Paul explains to the Romans what it means to have the many gifts, why we're blessed with the many gifts, but how that unites us into one body. So please stand with me as we read verse 3 from chapter 12 in Romans. It says, "For by the grace given to me, I tell everyone among you not to think of himself more highly than he should think. Instead, think sensibly, as God has distributed a measure of faith to each one. Now, as we have many parts in one body, and all the parts do not have the same function, in the same way, we who are many are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another. And according to the grace given to us, we have different gifts. So if prophecy, use it according to the standard of one's faith. If service, in service. If teaching, in teaching. If exhorting, in exhortation. Giving, with generosity. Leading, with diligence. Show mercy, with cheerfulness." Let's bow our heads in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you to hear your words, to understand how the different gifts you have given us help unite us under Christ. That those gifts, as we practice, as we use them, as we share them with other people, truly brings us into your body, combining us. For the hand by itself is useless. Same with the heart or the mind, the leg, the foot. For all parts are useless on their own, but when you bring them together, you create strength. You create ability. And so, Lord God, we ask that you help us understand our individual gifts today, that you help us learn to exercise them, that they may unite us, that we may come together and be the body of Christ here in Portage to continue doing your ministry, your mission, the miracles and the teachings that you did while you walked amongst us. Lord God, let this be our prayer today. Amen. Please be seated. See, Paul here is taking a moment to remind the Romans that by yourselves there's danger. And so we have to be careful. He says, "For by the grace given to me, I tell everyone among you not to think of himself more highly than he should think. Instead, think sensibly." In other words, think humbly is what some of your translations will read as you're looking at it. What Paul is telling the church in Rome is that you cannot be all hotty-totty and think that you're getting it done yourself, that you can't think you're better than the person sitting next to you, because you are saved the same as the next person. The sin that they suffer from is the same sin that you suffer from, and that's the disobedience to God. And that each and every one of us has to come into that understanding that each and every one of us is as guilty of sin as the next person, so therefore none of us are better than the person next to you. And that's a hard and lost message in today's world. In fact, I was just reading how one of my, not mentors, but I guess one of the people I look to for teachings, Bill Hybels, has taken a pretty big fall, but along with him has come an entire church, Willow Creek Church and Association, is having a huge follow-up because of an indiscretion, because of a sin of one person. But that's because we've come into pastor idling, or idolatry, or teacher idolatry. We find that one person, we really like how they talk, or we find that one person about how they really deliver a message, or the message they deliver, we really like what they have to say about it, instead of listening to the wholeness of God through the body of Christ. And what that does is it holds up a person, puts them on a pedestal, and when that person eventually falls, because each and every one of us will, we are all sinful in nature one way or another. And whether it's of an immoral reason or just because they burn out, humanity will fail at some point. And so we must remember that we must keep ourselves humble, understanding our position inside of this, that we by ourselves are no greater than anyone else by themselves. But Paul says that's not what we have to worry about, because instead you're blessed, think sensibly, as God has distributed a measure of faith to each one. So each one of us gets a little piece of it. Each one of us gets a little set of faith that we carry with us through the Holy Spirit. And if that's all we rely on, then we'll be in deep trouble, because that little bit of faith was never meant to carry us through life. But what was supposed to happen, and what Paul's talking about, is we, as in our little bit of faith that we take along, come together and we grow that faith as a whole, as a body, we become strong. Now we have many parts in one body, and all the parts do not have the same function. And in the same way, we who are many are one body in Christ and individually members of one another. Let me ask you, as a Christian, do you think in those terms? Do you think of yourself as only part of the equation? Because the answer to that is critical to how you fit into the Christian community, how you unite under Christ as your head into being the body of Christ. Because if you think that you're the only one who God came and died on the cross for, if you think you're the only one who's been given any gift that is worth having, then you're practicing self-adultery. You think you're God because you believe you're the only person who has any of the answers. This affects us in two ways. When we talk about being humble about things, or when we talk about setting aside, is the question of this. Can I get it all done by myself? And if not, who's to blame for when it fails? See, in our humility, we can understand that we need others to come along with us, that we don't have all the answers. And when we lead from that perspective, it's really easy for other people to come alongside, because it truly becomes a team effort. It becomes a community working towards things. When we remember that, even though I may have the gift of leadership, and for that reason I take and I lead through things, that my team and everybody on that team is as important to the equation of what God is trying to do, whatever his will is in the situation, which means I have a responsibility to make sure they're coming along with. I have a responsibility to make sure that they are getting an opportunity to serve the way that God has called them to serve. Because if I negate that, or I refuse to accept that, or I refuse to take that responsibility and bring them up and help that, because I think I can get it done, then the fact is not all of the faith that God wants assigned to that situation is being brought to the table. Not all the gifts that God needs to have happen, or have that thing happen, have made it to the situation, because we as humans have chosen to leave them behind. The other side of that is that sometimes we can choose to leave ourselves behind. Well, God would never use me. I'm too broken. I have too much shame. I have too much guilt. God would never take that. Oh, I'm too new of a Christian, so I can't help. I don't know enough. But the fact is even the youngest and newest Christian can take a little bit of time and effort to teach someone else that's less in the maturity of Christ what they have learned. Because in our humbleness, we can answer and sit there and say, I don't know the answer. See, in humbleness, we can understand that it's not our job to know everything. It's not our job to be able to do everything. We can simply just be honest and say, I don't know. And even the newest Christian who understands that Christ died on the cross for their sins and that in him they have salvation, if that's the only part of the message they've received, heard, and taken into their heart, they can share that with someone else. And then in humbleness, sit there and say, I don't know much else past that, but right now I'm pretty sure about that. See, what Paul's telling us is that we, in our humbleness, have a lot more strength, have a lot more ability to be what the body of Christ is working amongst each other instead of against each other, or not with anyone at all. He says, and goes on, he names a few of the gifts. According to the grace given to us, we have different gifts. And notice he doesn't say that any of them are better than any of the others. He's trying to give them an understanding that each and every one of you has a gift and you must use it. You must grow it. It's like a muscle. If you've been through Checking the Waters, you've heard this message. Our spiritual gift is like a muscle. It's given to us in infancy and it's small. And then through God and the Holy Spirit and us working together, it grows and it becomes stronger and stronger as we exercise it more and more. But you need to exercise, and that's what he's saying. So if you are given the gift of prophecy, use it in accordance to the standard of one's faith. So in other words, at the level that you believe in God, go and decree God's or declare God's truths. In that which you understand, go and declare what you understand. If service, then in service. If you're gifted with the heart of service, if you like to serve others and just see love of God being shared with another and the joy it brings to a person and maybe the deeper understanding of who God is, then go serve. If in teaching, then in teaching. Be bold. Teach the truth. Share what God has given you with them, even if it's a minute amount that you aren't even sure is worth sharing. Share it. You never know what seed it may plant or what opening it may have in a person's mind or heart at a time. If in exhorting, then exhortation. So in other words, of preaching, then go preach. If you have a heart that's giving, then give with generosity, not with expectation of receiving something back, not with adding up a debt, but with generosity. If you're called to be a leader, if you're gifted with leadership, then with diligence. Don't sit there and say, well, I'm a leader, but then don't lead. And then showing mercy with cheerfulness, to come alongside and see a person in need and meet that need, you do it with cheerfulness, not with a, well, you should have, or what if, you better, and all those other things, but with cheerfulness. See, inside this section of Scripture, right after he talks about being a living sacrifice, in other words, dedicating your entire life to the worship of God through how you live and letting that be your perfect worship, he breaks into this understanding, but your perfect worship is only found in completeness within the body of Christ, with Jesus Christ as the head and with us as a group of people working together. See, all too often we want to be that because we want the glory for ourselves. We want to take it on ourselves, or we're too afraid to take it on the backside of it because we don't want to fail. But see, that's where that humbleness comes back in, because I can guarantee you, if you go to serve God, and even if you fail miserably, it's still a success because God was brought to the situation. And guess what? That's where our humbleness, understand that, you know, I've failed before in my life. Each and every one of these leaders has dropped the ball at some point in their life with something. But in our humbleness, we remember that we're not perfect either, and so therefore we should not expect it from anybody else. But what we should expect is that as Christians, we come together and we work together utilizing all the gifts that are sitting here. I don't know, it looks like there's about 60 people here out of the 21 typical biblical spiritual gifts. That means we should have each one of those covered more than likely. That'd be a pretty good estimation. That means when we come together as a whole, all of God's spiritual gift is present on the field. Does that not make us better prepared for the battle that is to come than if we try to walk in without all the parts? As As many of you know, on my military side, we shifted years and years ago when I first came in from a kind of an individual plug and play where we're going to send the infantry here and the armor here, and we started using combined arms much more diligently. And the concept of, like, we are stronger when we bring all the tools to the field. If you're a mechanic, do you walk into a shop with just a pair of pliers? No, you bring your entire toolbox with you. If you're a musician, do you not want the whole band there versus just one of you? See, when we refuse to give our gifts or utilize our gifts for our own fear or for our own shame or guilt or whatever keeps us from bringing the gift to the table, we're cutting parts of the body off. And then the body's not as effective. I want you to imagine if you were the foot of the body that you're part of and you were cut off, how effective would that body be? How far could that body travel? What if you're the hand? What work could be done? How hampered would the body be to be out doing the things that it was called to do? See, we don't think in those terms. We're like, well, someone else will cover that. Oh, God's got it. Yeah, God got it by giving you the gift to go utilize it and share it. That's a harsh message, and I understand that because it means that I'm calling you out onto the field. We don't get to walk out onto the field with only 11 players. We got to take everybody on the field that God's given for the team. Each and every one of us has something to put into it. And unless we start thinking about that, then things will not change, and church will continue to be nothing more than a different business model. And like any CEO, eventually those who are in charge won't have the answer, and it will fail. But the fact is our CEO is God, and he's given us the answer. We just need to be faithful to following it at whatever level he's given it to us. The question I have for you is, are you exercising your spiritual gifts? Are you being part of the body? Are you working with other Christians? I know a lot of people who go out and do good in the world, and they even say, well, it's because I'm a Christian, I go out and do good, but they do it by themselves. And God's never glorified in it because there's never a message that continues. It's just a one-time stop and move on. But the fact is when we come together and we do a ministry, say, you know, say like you start up a ministry to help the hungry. If I take that on by myself and I have no help, it's going to die very quickly because I'm going to get burned out. I'm not going to be able to do it. But if I have an entire church that stands behind, there will always be someone to fill the slot that needs to be filled. There will be someone who is there to open the door. There will be someone there to pray with someone when they come through. There will be someone to make sure the food is where it needs to be when the food comes in. Do you see the strength that we get when we start understanding that we're all called together to work together? And while, yes, some are called to lead and some are called to teach and some are called to preach and all these different things, if we utilize that as a body, we become stronger. If those who are called to preach get up here and they deliver their word, in other words, if they come up and they have an exhortation of what God is saying through Scripture, does that not strengthen us all? And if we have leaders who come forward and are willing to take on tasks and make sure that other people are equipped to make those things happen, do we not become a stronger body? Do we not serve in the way that God calls us to serve a little bit better? If you have a heart to serve, but yet you have a grudge or you're too shameful because someone might know you from the community and you're too ashamed to sit there and admit that you're a Christian, or maybe because what you have done in the past, you're too ashamed to be seen by other people, then those things don't happen. You see, we have to work as a body. We have to come together. We have to understand what God has given us as a gift, and we have to exercise it. We have to put it into place. We have to plug in. We have to be part of a body. People ask nowadays, why is church even important? Because the church isn't a building. It's not a gathering. It's a group of people coming together in community and doing that which God has willed them to do with all the gifts so that it may be accomplished and that God may be glorified in it. That is why the church is important. You wonder why the church isn't relevant in today's society? You wonder why people question or walk past doors and never even think twice of stopping and asking what it's about? It's because we've lost that. We're a bunch of individuals trying to run around and make ourselves feel good about what we're doing for God instead of doing what God has asked us to do. You see, if we want to be a living sacrifice, if we want to come before God and offer ourselves up as a living worship, then we have to be mindful of what His will is first and foremost. That's the part of living our life in worship, or living a life of worship. We strengthen that, we gain strength from it by living a life in prayer, by coming before God and asking Him to reveal His will and then to give us the gifts to do so, to give us the courage to be bold, the strength to go where He asks us to go, and the courage to just live our life as Christians. But that is all accomplished, and His will starts becoming actuality in this world of ours when we live a life on mission. When we start stepping out and we start pursuing those things that He has gifted us to do. So one of the first things we need to do is identify what gifts we've been given. If you come through checking the waters, you'll get a chance to do this, but I've got the checkoff sheets right here, and I'm going to pass them around, and I want you to take them home and work on them this week. It takes about a half hour to do, so it's not very time-consuming. It takes about, like I said, a half hour to do. Read the instructions so you don't get it backwards. Otherwise, things come out a little bit weird. But the first thing, fellow brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, is that we have to seek out what God has given us. So sit down and pray before you do this. Take a moment and understand what God has given you through the Holy Spirit, the blessing upon becoming a believer of Jesus Christ. Because He doesn't just give gifts for idle purposes. He gives gifts that we may grow them, that we may use them, and that His will may be known, and that His glory may be given throughout it. See, Paul, inside Romans, starts out with explaining what spiritual worship is, what it means to be a living sacrifice. He moves into understanding the gifts and then understands that, or it moves into the concept of Christian ethics or Christian living. See, he understood that in order to be recognized as a Christian, you had to utilize the gifts given to you. And I challenge you, you've met these people before. Oh, I'm a Christian. I love Jesus Christ. Oh, you see that person over there, that homeless person over there, better figure out how to get a job. Yeah, we hear that all the time. We see that all the time. That poor immigrant that's coming from a war-torn country that has totally been bombed out of their house, has no place to go, yep, they better go find someplace else to be. We don't want that here. See, we're identified as Christians by how we live. In fact, I bet you there's some people who live a good life, do good things, who you think are a Christian who aren't Christians. But because of the way they evidence their lives, we mistake them for that. But the fact is, there's a lot of people who declare to be Christians that people never have a clue because of the way they live their lives. And so the challenge I give you as we close up today, as we start preparing to head out, as you go home and you take these surveys to kind of find out where God is first of all, once you've identified it, pray to God to give you the courage to step up and answer it and start growing that spiritual gift. The elders, the deacons, myself, we are all here to help you on that journey. In fact, that's what a pastor is. A pastor is a shepherd to move you from point A to point B safely, to help encourage you, to make sure that you're fed along the way. That is my role. Please put me to work. My role is not to do all the ministry of the church. My role as pastor isn't to be your personal savior. You already have that. That's Jesus Christ. My role is to help you understand who God is and what your calling in His will is and how to make that happen. How you are part of the body of Christ, that you may feel fulfilled with the purpose that He has given you. See, each and every one of us has to have that role, to see our fellow brother or sister and help them along the way through the gifts that God has given. It's the tools that we use to do that. And so please, take this seriously. Once you understand what your spiritual gifts are, make the promise to yourself and pray to God to give you the strength and the courage to follow through on it, that you start working towards understanding that spiritual gift and growing that spiritual gift. That means you need to plug in. You can't just come Sunday mornings and sit around. You need to plug in. You need to move forward. Jesus Christ said that which glorifies the Father the most are the works that I have completed. James makes the famous and a lot often misquoted connotation, show me faith without works and I'll show you dead faith. He's not saying that our faith is created in the works. What he's saying is if we have faith in Jesus Christ, then we'll answer the call that he has given us and we'll continue on with the mission that he has given us through the gifts that he has blessed us with. And because of that, we'll be able to evidence someone's faith because they're on the battlefield. They're out there making way forward and not always falling back. And see, that's the beauty of it. So many people struggle with difficulties or sin in their past life, and they come to me and they're like, Pastor, I just don't understand, or Pastor Scott, because they aren't part of our church and they don't really know me that close, and so they want to give me the official titles. And they come in and they're sitting there saying, I just can't beat this. And I ask, well, what are you doing to serve God? How are you allowing him to move you away from that? Well, nothing. That, in that statement, is the fact why you're not getting away from your sin. It's because you're not moving away from it. He's equipped you. He's given you the tools. He's put it in your box. Now you need to start moving it. You need to start turning the wrench. You need to start swinging the hammer that he's given you. You didn't get the hammer. Or you got the hammer. You didn't create the hammer. He did. He created the wrench. But when you start turning it, you pick up the purpose that he's given you. And then he's walking with you through each and every moment, and then we can move away. See, the gifts were a way to overcome the brokenness and to renew you, that you may become what he wills you to be. If you struggle with why God's not present in your life, or why you don't hear him, or why you don't seem to be able to have the strength to make or move away from brokenness, my question is, are you walking with him? Because our God is not an idle God. He is constantly on the move. He is constantly creating. He is constantly doing new things and pushing into new areas and taking territory from Satan. We know this because of Scripture. But the question is if you're standing still, how do you keep up with a moving object? If you're standing in one place, how do you keep up with God as he moves forward to take back the territory that we surrendered to Satan? The answer is you can't. You can't believe in Jesus Christ, stand still, and grow roots in one place and expect to be fed. You can't expect to be nurtured, and you can't expect to see God each and every day because he's moving constantly. That's why in Matthew 7 he says, seek and you shall find, knock and I will answer. See, in all these areas that we draw such strength from Scripture, in our Christian lives, you notice there's a this equals this through an action, right? So in this list of spiritual gifts, if prophecy, use it according to the standard of one's faith. Use it. There's an action verb in there. If service, in service. If teaching, in teaching. These are action verbs. You have to do it in order to utilize it. It has to be used in order to be effective. Church, my hope as we come out of this understanding of what it means to live a life on mission is that you understand your spiritual gift, that you build it, that you nurture it, that you grow it just like you would weightlifting for your body or running or eating healthy, is that you exercise it so that you may use it. Because I understand and I pray and I long for a church body, and you guys do great. You volunteer when we ask you to. But I know there's a lot of fear in volunteering in certain areas, and so I hope this knocks that down. I don't care where your gift is. I don't care what maturity level or how strong it is at this point. What I want to see you do is be brave enough to step up and begin using it. In the church, in the community, because I know that God, as our head, when the body is full and comes alongside of that, is unstoppable.